Wednesday and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And I just want to lift out verse 36 for our reading. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 36, recorded of these words. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. May the Lord add a blessing to his word. You may be seated. My. I just want to speak from the subject, patience. Payday is coming. Patience. Payday is coming. One of these things that we most time deal with in our lives, especially this word patience, is relevant to every believer in every place and in every state of condition that we face in life. Patience is so important to the believer because it is in that perfect work of patience that we see God in the fullness of his desire for us to be both in fellowship with him and understand the workings of him. And so when we hear this word from the writer of the book of Hebrews, as we back up to verse 32, he calls their remembrance to the former days of the things that they dealt with and that they had gone through and that they were coming out of and that they were going to come out of. But every now and then, it's just good to look back and see where the Lord has brought you from. Every now and then, it's just good for you to remember that you always had not been in this place. And while you may not be where you want to be, thank God you ain't where you used to be. So look at this word, if you will, beginning at verse 32. It says, but call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. And one of the things I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, you see, the devil really doesn't mess with you until you get some knowledge. Until you really understand the will of God, until you really understand the word of God, until you really understand what God is trying to get you to know and to operate in. After they were illuminated, after they got an understanding and enlightenment, then they really suffered great affliction. And so sometimes in this Christian race and in this journey that we are engaged in, we wonder, the closer we get to the Lord, why does the fight get so fierce? It's only because you've been illuminated. You've been enlightened and the scabs have been pulled off your eye and God wants you to live on a higher level. And so the devil is mad. But look at what he goes on to say. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. And he's encouraging them, and he's telling them, listen, you know, while you were going through, you helped me, even though you were going through through my circumstances and situation, you stepped up to the plate, you used your goods, even though you know I couldn't do nothing to help you back with what you did. But it was all in the sense of knowing that you had a heavenly reward. You had a substance and a power that came from God. And so one of the things that I think is important as well, and this is one of the characteristics or traits of a true mature child of God. Even when you're going through, even when you're dealing with something, when you see a brother or sister going through something, you still are compelled to sometime put your pain on hold. Wipe your tears away and try to wipe theirs first. You try to deal with them and help them because somehow you seem to feel an unction out of your spirit that if you could just help them come along, that what you do for them, God will do for you. When you know that they may not make that next step, they may not continue on that journey, if you don't pause, if you don't stop, if you don't turn around, if you don't reach down and pick them up, because one of the things you know underneath the skin is that you're not trying to get to heaven by yourself. And we can become so consumed with self that we don't see others who are suffering and dealing. Jesus was on the cross. And while on the cross, he prolonged his death until he took care of those who were around the cross and said all that was necessary to put everything in place so that when that time had come, he would be in that place that God would want him to be. But rather than that, all those to whom God had sent him to bring back into that place of righteousness with him would have that opportunity to know him aright and to be in a right relationship with God. Now look at this, because I want you to go on and see this. The Bible says, cast not, verse 35, away therefore your confidence. Listen, which hath great recompense of reward. Listen at this. Cast not away therefore your confidence. In other words, it may be a little while longer than you anticipated getting your reward. You may have been expecting it years ago, months ago, weeks ago, days ago, some time ago. And sometimes the longer God delays, the devil makes us think that he's denying. But what we don't really understand is how God operates. If he didn't give it to you then, it's because he knew you wasn't ready for it, or it wasn't ready for you. Sometime God, he does this according to his own word, his own will, and according to his own good pleasure. When you make a request unto God, when you obey the will of God, he has the right, according to both that you do and the spirit in which you do it, to upgrade your blessings. So while he was going to give you something on this level, but he saw how you dealt with it, and he saw how you handled it, and he saw how you were patient through that process, he then upgrades the blessing to so much more. And so sometimes when you're looking for this, you become overwhelmed when he gives you that, because you weren't even anticipating what God is doing. And so there is an encouraging word for the believer today to not cast away your confidence. It's not here yet, but you got to realize when it gets here, it's going to be worth everything you've had to go through to get what God has promised you. Listen again. I want to read this word one more time. Verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence. Listen, the devil ain't gonna take it from you. But sometimes give it away. You'll cast it away with your frustration. You'll cast it away with your fear. You'll cast it away with your not being able to see the future because the plan that you thought God was operating on didn't come when you thought it would come. And so when you cast away your confidence, What you're really saying is, God, I don't believe you're going to do what you said you're going to do. When you cast away your confidence, what you're saying is, God, I needed you today, but since you didn't come today, forget about it. I don't need it tomorrow. When you cast away your confidence, what you're saying is, my labor is in vain in the Lord. When you cast away your confidence, what you're telling God is, God, you have let me down and disappointed me. You didn't show up when I thought you would show up. But how many of you know God don't work on your time frame? He works on his own. And listen to this. The confidence you have is undergirded by your faith. I say the confidence you have is undergirded by your faith. And so that's why nobody else can cast away your confidence. Nobody else can take away your confidence. Only you can either keep or cast away your confidence. Listen to this. In the Lord. And here's where verse 36 comes in it. For ye have need. Somebody say need.
Need.
I need patience. I need, John Montgomery needs patience. I can't speak for you. You sitting there looking holier than thou, like, look, I got all the patience I need, Pastor. This message is for you. But I wish I had a witness in the house that said I could use a little more patience. Listen at this. The writer of the Hebrews says, for ye have need of patience. What's the purpose? That after ye have done the will of God, that after ye have done the will of God. Now, you know, this is interesting because a lot of people think they need patience to do the will of God. You know, you're not yet what you ought to be. You've not come to the place where you want to be, et cetera, et cetera. And you say, God, help me, strengthen me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Give me patience to be what you want. And that's wonderful and fine, and we do need that patience as well. But here he lifts before the consciousness of our minds a whole new reality. He says, don't cast your confidence away. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. He says, but the problem is you need patience. You have a need of patience. Now, here's what he says. After that, ye have done the will of God. See, that's really where the devil then starts to attack your spirit and your mind, your thoughts. After you've done the will of God. See, after you've done the will of God, the expectation is that God will immediately do what he said he was going to do for us. After we have done the will of God, then it's no longer on us, but now it's on God. And our patience is truly tried now after we have done our part. Do you notice how impatient you get when you've done the work and you're waiting on the pay? You know, you make it to Friday, you make it to the first, you make it to the 15th, but on that day, they ain't paying you for what you're going to do. They're paying you for what you've already. So you get a little impatient on the check that you've already. You ain't trying to hear, we ain't got to it yet. I wish I had a witness. I mean, not if you need your money. Now, if you got some checks you ain't even cash yet, ain't no problem. But, you know, I know some folk like that. But I'm talking about when you need your money. You ain't trying to wait on, well, listen, we're going to get to that after lunch. Or this time and that. No, you need what you have need of now. And you're like, wait. No, y'all need to put some of that other stuff down and get the checkbook out and get me my check. And then you get in pain. Well, you know what? That's okay. I'll wait right here till y'all get some time. No, I ain't going and coming back. I'm going to just wait. Burning up all my gas coming across town. This should have been ready already. After we have done the will, God, you said you would do such and so. If I did my part, why hadn't you done it, God? How long am I going to have to wait? How long am I going to have to go through this? And so, my brothers and sisters, when you begin to look at this, you're going to see some things that are interesting as relates to knowing that after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You shall receive. And it says ye might, it means that you are going to receive it after you've done what you're supposed to do. It is not a maybe, a speculation. It is a reality. God is going to honor his promise. So one of the things you need to recognize is that you need to be patient in suffering. I want you to write some of these things down, because this is a part of you understanding payday is coming. You have to be patient in suffering. In James chapter 5, verse 11, we're called attention to Job and how he suffered. And then James says, listen, didn't God give him double for his trouble? Paraphrased. We should be patient in suffering, because if God allows us to suffer, it's only a part of the success that he's going to bring to us as a reality. Also, we need to be patient in sorrow. These verses I read in your hearing, and those that follow after verse 36 reveal that as well, that we need to be patient in sorrow. Psalm 41 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry. You know, Jesus was a man acquainted with sorrow and with grief. He understood how to be patient. He dealt with deception, disgrace, and death, but he did it all with patience and compassion and forgiveness. And as an end result of that, we are saved today, because he knew how to patiently deal with sorrow. I want you to see something else. You need to be patient also in success. If we look a couple chapters over to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, verse 1 tells us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You've got to learn how to be patient in success. Why is that so important? Because patience is important. You can't be either overconfident or overworked when it comes to success. You've got to patiently do what you are assigned to do, and then when you are successful, understand that God has honored your patience. See, there are some things you need to know. No matter how much you overwork and overrush, how much you overdo, it's not going to bring success no faster, because it is on God's timetable. Bible warns us about those who try to get rich too quick, because we'll start doing some unscrupulous things, some ungodly things, trying to get rich too quick. But just practice principles that work and just do them consistently. One of the ways the wealthy get wealthy is that they operate in principles that are profitable, and they repeat the process. You ain't got to invent or reinvent the wheel or no new things. Sometimes it's just doing what works right over and over again. Listen at this. A dollar may not be too much by itself, but you just learn to put a dollar a day away. Don't go back and get it. Just put that $1 today there. Leave it there. It's lonely today, but tomorrow it'll have company. And then the next day you put another dollar with that one, and now it's three of them. And the next day you add another one. And then you look back over the years, never having touched the dollars, you will see that that $1 was just that same $1 that you kept putting back a day after, a day after, a day after. And before you knew it, it grew. With anything, it's just knowing the principle and practicing the principle and profiting from the principle. And so you understand that you have to be patient in success. But then you also need to be patient in setbacks. Psalm 37 and 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You've got to be patient in setbacks, because setbacks many times are no more than setups for God to do something great in your life. What the devil means for evil, God means those things for good. How do you know that? Because Romans 8:28 says, and we know. And we know. All setbacks aren't bad. If you're patient enough, you'll see God take that setback and put you in a place of profitability, a place of blessings. In other words, what the devil thought he was doing to destroy you, God was using that to build you up, to strengthen you, to make you stronger. And so all of the things that the enemy uses in his repertoire of weapons and artillery to bring us down and defeat us, listen, what doesn't take us out makes us tougher. And whatever we've experienced, one has said, if it is not fatal or final, it can still be fruitful. And when you know that, you don't cast away your confidence, even in setbacks. And sometimes the setback is the last situation that you've had to expend on, the situation or to give, or that was the last of your strength or your energy, or that was the last of what you had focused on to be able to do, and it's like now there's nothing left. What do you do? Be patient. And realize that God allowed whatever happened to happen because there is a greater lesson, and in that greater lesson is a greater blessing. So be patient in your setbacks. Maybe he didn't open the door this time. Maybe because he has a greater door, that if he had opened this door this time, you would not have gone through the greater door next time. See, sometimes we become complacent with stuff and don't want to transition from one good degree to the next. When we get comfortable on certain levels, it's like, God, I'm good right here. I don't want to go through no more. This is all right for me. It don't take all that. I'm happy with this. I don't need all the extra. Here's where we become selfish and complacent in the fact that God doesn't always bless you with abundance just for you. God blesses you with abundance so you can be a blessing to others. To be able to be who he has called you to be and to support those to whom he has given you responsibility to do so and given you the abundance to do it. So don't get to the point where you get to the point where you think God has given you everything so you can spend it on you. No, he knows you don't need all of that for you. So obviously, you need to be sensitive to him and know that he has a plan for you when he does a thing like that. Listen at this. Lastly, I want to tell you that you need to be patient in service. Service. Hebrews 6:15 say, and so after ye had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, when you are patient in service, the Bible says this, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. See, it's not about doing it fast. It's about doing it right. And sometimes in your doing it fast, you go through a lot, but you really don't accomplish a lot. Because when you've got to double back to catch up on something you missed, it takes time from the present or the future job. And so God would rather you be patient in service, doing the best and doing it right the first time, than rather having to come back and redo over and over again because you were not patient enough to do it correctly. Listen, God wants faithfulness. And God honors faithfulness from the very smallest details of a job to the greatest. Here's what he knows. He knows that if you are faithful in doing the service that he's called you to do, and no one has to stand over your shoulder, and no one has to come behind you and critique your job, inspect your job, because you have gone over it and inspected yourself, and you know that it is done to the best of your ability and the best that it can be done, Then when you move to the next job, you don't have a need of wondering when the inspectors come behind you, when others who see what you've done recognize you were the doer of that was done, and have to worry about what they're going to think about it. Because when you are faithful in service and patient enough to do it right, this is the time that God honors that kind of faithfulness in service and patience in service, and then prepares you for promotion. Yes. You ever notice why on your jobs or in certain situations, when you want more responsibility, you want more to do, you feel you can handle more, and those who are in charge of divvying out the responsibility and the reward says, not yet? It's because they have recognized that what you've already done is not worthy of promotion. See, what you don't realize is your Hancock, your signature, your excellence, your level of responsibility, commitment, and service says that that is your best work when you do whatever you do and call it done. See, the Bible is clear. It says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Do it with a hearty spirit. Do it with all of your best ability, as if the Lord himself were going to come behind you and inspect you. And when you do it to those exacting standards, can I tell you, you ain't ever got to worry about it not being good enough for man when you make it good enough for God. Because God is the one who's going to promote you for your patience and faithfulness in service. And so the writer of Hebrews is encouraging them, listen, that you have need of patience. After that, you have done the will of God, you're going to receive the promise. Why? Because God is faithful. Verse 37 says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. He said, I'm just trying to tell you, payday is coming soon. Be patient, he said, because I need you to realize that the one that you're looking for, the one who's going to reward you, the one who's going to inspect your labors, he's coming and he will not tarry. Listen to this. Now the just shall live by faith. I love this word. Now the just shall live by faith.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
K-A-Y-T, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Your grace is chasing me down, chasing me down. down. Couldn't decide.